I'm Mike Leffer.
And I'm Mike Ravenscroft.
And you're listening to Extreme Uncertainty, the Catching the Tsunami episode. Mr. Ravenscroft.
Mr. Leffer.
How are you today?
Doing quite well. Doing quite well, though COVID rages on.
It does, but I'm happy to announce that I have had my 5G chip implanted and my cell service is fully operational.
That's really good to hear. I had mine done a couple weeks ago, and I'm already getting orders from Fauci to start storming various government sites and facilities. And I don't know. I mean, I'm going to do it because I have to, because it's in my blood now, but I'm conflicted.
Yeah. In all seriousness, It does feel, aside from the second, the day after the second dose of Pfizer, it feels like optimism and hope is coming back, at least here in the U.S.
I think that's true, although I think I've finally come around to the fact that certain things are going to have to permanently change after this. And, who knows what they will be, but I do think that there will be, certain things that will, sort of forever be changed by COVID. And I think that's actually not a bad segue into the conversation we're about to have today.
It's the perfect segue, actually. And so today on the podcast, we're pleased to introduce Aaron Hsu, co-founder and CEO of ClearMask. ClearMask is the first fully transparent FDA-cleared mask optimized for maximum clarity and comfort, making connections more human and providing clear communication for all. Since launching in 2017, ClearMask has grown to over $40 million in revenue, and the company has won dozens of awards and accolades from the healthcare industry. Aaron shares his journey from part-time entrepreneur to CEO of one of the fastest-growing medical device companies in the U.S. He shares the challenges of scaling up a medical device company on the heels of the biggest public health disaster of our times, and he gives his perspective on what it takes to keep your team together through thick and thin. Aaron has been named Baltimore Business Journal's inaugural leader in healthcare innovation and BioBuzz Baltimore's top 10 biohealth startup CEOs. Please enjoy our conversation with Aaron Hsu, CEO and co-founder of ClearMask. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us today on Extreme Uncertainty. We're happy to have you.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
To kick it off, what does ClearMask do?
We invented and distribute the first full-face transparent surgical mask in the world. And we started in 2017, and since then have grown exponentially and are supplying transparent face masks to the US, the UK, and Canada as of now, and are going to expand to the rest of the EU relatively soon.
So I wish we could show our listeners what this actually means,
right?
But could you describe it and then tell us a little bit about why a fully clear, transparent face mask is important?
Yeah, and it really goes back to our inception. One of our founders, Alyssa, is deaf, and when she had to have surgery back in 2017, she uses American Sign Language. It's her native language, and requested a sign language interpreter for her surgery, but unfortunately the interpreter never showed up, which is pretty common. And she was able to get by lip reading and passing notes back and forth in pre-op. But once she got into the operating room, all the doctors and nurses were wearing surgical masks. So they were completely covered up and she couldn't communicate with anyone around her. And they were trying to ask her questions like, who are you? Which side are we operating on? What's your blood type? What drugs are you allergic to? All of these critically important questions that they have to ask because mistakes have been made before. But also, trying to tell her what to do, putting a blood pressure cuff on, trying to position her, getting her to lay down, all of these things that they just stopped trying to communicate with her about it and just treated her like a doll and just started doing things to her. And, she lost her humanity and her sense of autonomy. And when she told me that story, I thought that should never happen to anyone, much less in healthcare in such a scary environment. And I thought, why don't we buy a transparent mask so that, at least in the future, if this happens again, you can lip read. And we were surprised to find that there were none available back in 2017. So we thought, there's clearly a need. And we have the ability to do something about it, so why don't we? And we started doing some customer discovery and found that, you know, there are a lot of different patient populations that can benefit from this, not just the deaf and hard of hearing. And the more we talk to people, the more we realize, you know, being able to see who we're talking to is fundamental to human nature. It's how we communicate and connect. It's why we use FaceTime. It's why we use emojis when we text, right? It's just a fundamental aspect of human connection.
I like to hide behind the mask.
Yeah, and we've heard that a lot too, and that's definitely valid. And
but that's only because, you know, Mike fights crime at night, so if he just didn't have the mask on, it would defeat the purpose.
Right.
Aaron, were you surprised when you started looking for a clear mask and couldn't find one?
It astounded me, and that's usually the first thing that people say when we talk about clear mask is, it's so obvious. How come no one has done this yet? And, you know, we really don't have a good answer. I think our hypothesis is that, you know, especially in healthcare, things have always just been, well, we've always done it this way, and this is how we're going to do it. But also, no one has really kind of taken a look at, you know, how can we improve something so simple? And I think one of the strengths that we have as such a diverse, you know, founding group and diverse workforce in Clear Mask is that, you know, some of the things that are obvious to us may not be obvious to others. And that's allowed us to kind of look at things from a different perspective. And, you know, we always go back to this concept of universal design. We use the dropped curb as an example on the corners. Those were originally designed for wheelchair users, but, you know, now everyone uses them, from baby strollers, moms, to scooters, bikes, etc.
I mean, that's... We love the mission. Totally understand it. I want to see if we can talk about maybe two different stories along your journey so far. One, what's been, you know, your proudest as a team, most exciting moment?
Wow, there's been a lot that's been on in the past year, and I think the thing that comes to mind the first is right when COVID was happening. You know, we were trying to decide, what are we going to do? I think this was the time when it was kind of unclear what COVID was going to be. Everyone was like, oh, you know, this is going to blow over in 2 weeks, or, you know, everyone's telling us to work from home for a week and we'll be back the next week and it's all going to kind of just blow over. And we thought, well, what is going to be the worst case scenario? And maybe it does come in and become a full-fledged pandemic, and maybe it doesn't, but we should be prepared. And so we went to work and decided as a team that we were going to take this position that COVID was going to be serious and that we should be prepared for it. And we started going to work right away. And this was, I mean, beginning of March. We started contacting as many people as we could, started getting the product up and running, and kind of just hoped that by the time everything was done, we got our product out, our manufacturability done, that we would get FDA clearance. And during one of those calls, it was, you know, mid-March, almost end of March, we were in a team meeting, and then one of my co-founders, our COO, Elise, goes, hold on, someone's calling me, drops out, and it's gone for quite a while, which is atypical for us, right? And she comes back and goes, guys, that was the FDA. They are letting us know that they are looking at our application. There are a few things that, you know, they need from us that we're gonna send. And, you know, other than that, they said it's pretty good and we're kind of good to go. And that was kind of that moment where everything hit us, like, you know, we have everything we need to scale, and we just got to execute now. And we never even really celebrated that. You know, I think getting FDA clearance is such a huge milestone for any medical device company. And it was more of just like, all right, checkbox done. What do we need to do next? And it's one of those stories that I think a lot of founders can relate with, because it's, you know, there are so many exciting things that happen, but also so many things that you have to just continue to do that, you know, one of the things I tell a lot of entrepreneurs is celebrate all the wins whenever you can. And we ended up never celebrating that, but it was a huge win for us.
Well, I mean, that came at a very interesting time for the company. And I wanted to ask you, you know, you founded the company in 2017, but were you all sort of full-time all in when COVID hit, or was that part of the inflection point that got the entire team together?
No, we've since starting in 2017, I mean, we got to our FDA clearance to mass manufacturability product, all of that, we were all still working full-time jobs. So this was kind of a quote-unquote side project for us. And, you know, we never raised funding. So we got to that point working a lot, and, you know, there was definitely some burnout, but it's, you know, it goes back to the team, right? We have an amazing team, and I can't say enough about how, you know, a lot of great ideas never become great ideas because you can't execute on it. And we were able to do that because we have a great team. So, you know, that's probably the most important thing that has been, you know, integral to our success.
You mentioned some burnout, Aaron. On the other end, what's been the most challenging, you know, time in the company? Any stories come to mind?
Yeah, just managing timelines, managing time, managing each other. You know, as a four-person team and four co-founders, you kind of have to keep each other in check, right? There's no one person that is ultimately responsible. We all are responsible. And, you know, because we were also working full time for other jobs, you know, it's hard to balance life and work and clear mask. And, you know, when you do it for 3 years, it gets to you. So one of the things that we had to do was institute, you know, almost like a check and balance rule for each other, where, you know, if you need time off, you should take time off. And, you know, we had one of our founders say, you know, guys, I'm burning out. I need to take 2 weeks off. And we were like, okay, you know, offload whatever you can, prioritize what the next steps we need to do, tell us how to do it, we'll take care of it, go take your time off. And then other times where we have to tell someone, you know, you are burning out, you need to take time off, we're not letting you work anymore. You know, we had one of our co-founders have surgery, and the next day was on Slack trying to work, and we were like, no, like, I don't know how to block you on Slack, but you're not working, so stop working. And it's just, you know, managing the people around you, right? Because they're what keep you going, but also, you know, you need to make sure that they survive and you know, don't burn out. And that's been a challenge, but has been, you know, a very good experience for us to learn.
So for context for our listeners, you know, like we said, we can't show you what it is we're talking about, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that everybody listening to this show, in fact, most of the people in North America, have seen your product. Because it's used by public figures. It's used, I saw a photo on your website of a basketball coach using one. You know, these things are fast becoming everywhere because of the value. I wanted to talk about the challenges related to that, to getting to that point. So you get your FDA clearance, you start to scale up. What does the next 6 months look like? Are you guys just like, is the phone ringing off the hook? Are you doing like cold outreach and getting a good response? Like, and then, you know, what was that like trying to scale up manufacturing from what I assume was like, you know, hundreds of orders a month to like 100,000 orders a month?
Yeah, it was hard. And it's kind of hard to unpack it because there were so many things going on. I think the nice thing was that it's such an obvious product, and the value is so obvious that, you know, people who saw it recognized what it was for and why it was important right away. And so when COVID was happening, we were getting inquiries that we couldn't keep up, right? And it's a good problem to have, right? You know, one of our advisors says, you know, you guys have champagne problems. And, you know, at the end of the day, it still is a problem that needs to be solved. So, you know, we were fortunate to have a really good manufacturing partner that was also Maryland-based that could help us, that had the expertise to, you know, work on the manufacturing end to be able to scale our product both up and down. You know, when we got a really large order for, you know, hundreds of thousands of units, we had to scale up. And when that order was finished, we had to scale back down a little bit. But also just all of the things that you never really think about for a startup. And a lot of entrepreneurs focus on, okay, well, what do we need to do if things fail? But a lot of them never really think about, well, what do we need to do if things go right? And, you know, we do start getting sales, and, well, what do we need then? You know, we have to calculate sales tax, and we have to, you know, have operations in place and have tracking numbers sent. Like, we can't be doing all of this manually, because we were. I mean, at the peak of things, we had just 6 or 7 spreadsheets of orders and logistics and, you know, point of contacts, all of these things. You never really think about what you need to do when things go right. And then that's one thing I would highly recommend, you know, entrepreneurs to do is also have a plan in place for when things go right. But to get back to your question on, you know, marketing and outreach, it really was incredible what we really didn't have to pay for any of it. I think people saw the inherent value and just wanted to try it out because it's a new product. It's cool. It made sense and the timing was right with COVID. So like you said, everything from basketball coaches, the NCAA reached out to NASA. It's been a huge spectrum and we saw it on TLC, actually being able to see your product just out and about on TV or you know, on social media or when you're walking around the street it's a really cool feeling.
Yeah, I'll bet. And you kind of preempted my next question. So Mike and I were talking about this before you joined. You know, we frequently talk about timing the market, like how challenging and in some ways impossible that is for an entrepreneur. And what you said about not planning for things to go right, it's like you guys didn't just catch a wave. You caught like a tsunami, right? You know, beyond sort of having a plan in place, I'm curious, you know, what other bits of advice would you have for entrepreneurs who find themselves suddenly, you know, riding a wave that they did not anticipate? You know, was there anything like that you would recommend as far as like structurally bringing on a board of advisors? You know, like I'm just curious what you guys did that worked, and then maybe what you did that did not work that you would recommend not doing.
Mm-hmm. I think to answer the question about timing is we took that into account, and I think a lot of people don't. But like you said, it's hard to predict, right? But when we started Clear Mask, even back in 2017, the trend was towards, you know, in healthcare especially, that, you know, a lot of healthcare was becoming less paternalistic and patients were having more of a voice, right? You know, we were seeing the trend of, instead of, you know, back in the day, you just went to a hospital, you just trusted that whatever was gonna happen at a hospital, the doctor, the nurse, whomever knew best, you didn't need to know anything, like you just listen. And nowadays, you know, you'll do your research of, you know, which hospital should I go to for X, Y, and Z? You know, what's their patient satisfaction score? You know, how each individual doctor is rated? You know, all these things. So we kind of had a bit of an idea of the timing and the trend, but we never got it exactly right. We got pretty lucky in that regard, but it wasn't necessarily a shot in the dark. But I think the thing that helped us was throughout our time of starting Clear Mask to the point where we didn't need to scale, is we continually built our team of advisors, either formally or informally, and, you know, built real relationships. We didn't, you know, try and just go to networking events and get business cards and be like, hey, great, it was nice to meet you. You know, one of our first advisors was the former chief supply chain officer for the entire Veterans Health Administration, you know, a pretty big deal. And the first time we met, we didn't talk about Clear Mask work or anything at all. We just spent 2 hours talking about space and NASA and the moon, and you know, it was really just building a real relationship with someone and not expecting anything in return. I think that was one thing that I tried to do was, you know, I think a lot of entrepreneurs, there's this kind of unset expectation that everything is quid pro quo, and it doesn't have to be. And I think people recognize that, you know, we have advisors that have never done anything for us, but, you know, we're friends. And if there is eventually something that I do need help with, you know, I'm asking them as a friend, not as a, you know, I'm an entrepreneur or CEO and I need your help for one thing and hopefully I can return the favor one day. Just building up that relationship network with a huge variety of people has been incredibly helpful, and being genuine. I mean, one of the things, our company culture has always been, you know, we are 100% as genuine as you can. You know, the Clear Mask is transparent, and our company culture is transparency.
That's really interesting. I had another question, but based on what you just said, I want to follow up real quick. So a lot of entrepreneurs think about compensating advisors and what value are they providing. How do you balance equity and option grants versus they haven't done anything for us in the compensation side of it?
None of our advisors have any equity or any kind of compensation, period. If we bring them on as a consultant to help us actually get things done, like, you know, they're spending hours and doing real work and there's an expectation or output at the end, we tell them we are going to pay them. We don't even give them the option of doing work for us and not getting paid, right? Because it's a respect thing. You know, I don't expect you to work for us for free, even if you are a friend. But if you are advising and making connections and, you know, doing stuff, there is also the expectation that you are not getting equity. And we have found that the people that want to help because they genuinely want to help provide much more value than the people that, you know, are looking for a consulting gig or are offering to help because they expect a payout at the end. A lot of the people that are our advisors are former entrepreneurs or understand kind of, quote unquote, the struggle of being an entrepreneur and genuinely want to give back, because I think all of us that are entrepreneurs have had free help that, you know, no strings attached. I want to help you because I think you're doing something really cool and I want to see you succeed. And we all want to pay that forward. And so finding that person that, you know, just genuinely wants to help because they think your product is cool, because they think you're doing great things, or they like your mission, you know, those are the advisors that you want, and they shouldn't expect anything in return.
And what's the best way to find advisors like that?
Networking events. I mean, part of your job and part of my job as a CEO was, you know, going to those happy hours. I gained so much weight in, like, because, you know, a lot of these networking events are happy hours or there's food being passed around and, you know, just walking around drinking and eating. And, you know, I probably go to at least one a week, if not two a week. And, you know, it really does add to your calories. But, you know, just going there and being genuine and talking to people. And, you know, I really almost never bring up ClearMask unless they explicitly ask. And it's just getting to know people, you know, getting them interested in who you are as a person and being interested in who they are as a person. And, you know, if something works out, great. And if something doesn't, that's okay too. Just putting yourself out there and trying is really the best way to do it. And sometimes it's being a little aggressive if you have to, you know, if there's a key person that you think is going to be important. You know, I've waited around till the end and asked if I could walk a speaker to their car and kind of ambushed them in the parking lot. And, you know, sometimes you got to do that too. Or just asking for help, right? If you think there's someone that you need an introduction to, asking your network if they can make that introduction. Because if you don't ask, you won't get it. And if they say no, you're still back where you started, so.
Well said. Aaron, I wanted to ask you, so given that you were the prescient souls who understood that we were entering a year of pandemic and misery, I was, by the way, one of the former. I was the 2 weeks of watching Netflix and drinking beer,
right?
And we'll be back on the street. Yeah. So given that you're far more intelligent in these regards than I am, I wanted to ask you, what do you think's next for the company? And, you know, how do you see medicine and healthcare evolving in the wake of this? I'm just curious to get your thoughts on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I actually withdrew my medical school applications to start ClearMask. And part of the reason why is I think we're on the cusp of a really big change in healthcare and medicine, particularly in the United States. You know, like I said, it is becoming less paternalistic and having the patient engaged in their own care, but also more personalized. You know, there's always been a lot of talk of personalized medicine and, you know, pharmaceuticals and biotech, but, you know, you're also starting to see that in the continuum of care, right? This concept of health does not just start and end in the hospital. It's well outside of the hospital. You know, I think my degree in public health helped a lot in understanding that movement and this change in thinking of, you know, health does not just start and end in the hospital. And we are starting to see that big shift. And the thing that really spurred us, you know, a lot of investors talk about, well, why now? The passage of the ACA was actually critically important because our buyer is not a physician or a nurse. Our buyer is a hospital administrator. You know, they're not a healthcare provider. And the incentive and reasoning for them is, you know, the ACA made healthcare reimbursement tied to patient satisfaction, and then explicitly made it tied towards communication. You know, the three questions that you ask at the end of a hospital visit is, you know, how did you feel your doctor communicated with you? How did you feel your nurse communicated with you? Did you understand what they were saying? And we knew implicitly that, you know, even if you don't, you know, need any supplemental communication, just being able to have that connection is going to increase those scores. And JAMA actually recently came out with an article that proved it. You know, they did a study with 200 patients, and 100% of them preferred the clear mask over standard masks. And I think about 80% said they could hear the doctor better, even though it made no difference in sound, right? It was really just being able to see them. So this kind of just broad approach of one size fits all, and kind of, you know, I'm the doctor, you're going to do what I tell you, and period, is definitely shifting away, and we'll likely see more legislation enacting kind of pressure on hospital administrators to move towards that.
Okay, we'll mark that in the episode notes. We'll call it, and we'll, you know, in 5 years, we'll, because I'll bet you're
right.
I'll bet you're right.
We'll get to that when we have you back on the show.
Yeah. Awesome. I'll put it in my calendar 5 years from now. I'm curious too, actually.
So, you know, as we wrap up the conversation, we always like to ask, what's your favorite book, podcast, or why?
Wow. My favorite book is Principles, Ray Dalio. And I like it because as an entrepreneur, you're trying to predict the future, right? Your job is to make sense of the unknown. And the best way to do that, and the only way, in our opinion, is to use a set of heuristics to guide your thinking and your decision making. And those heuristics rely on your principles as a company, right? You know, you're going to have to make impossible decisions as an entrepreneur. And the best way to make those decisions is to use your principles and your company kind of ideals and vision and values to do that. And you can't do that if you don't have them. And so actually having principles, writing them down, communicating them with everyone, and then using them to guide your decision making is, you know, one method that we have used to be relatively successful. And to give an example, you know, one of our principles is to do the right thing, not the easy thing. And there are definitely a lot of ways to take shortcuts starting a company. And our general heuristic is that, you know, the shortcuts aren't the best way to go. We generally prefer to take the longer route, even if it is going to be a lot more work, because in the long run, it'll generally be better. You know, it's never going to be 100% right, but, you know, that's one of the principles and heuristics that we rely on to make a decision. So it has been tremendously helpful in kind of guiding a decision when there is no right answer.
That's fantastic.
Fantastic advice.
Such a good book.
Yeah.
Aaron, really, really appreciate you joining us today on Extreme Uncertainty. This was a wonderful conversation, and I can't wait to see Clear Mask on everyone.
Yeah, likewise, and thanks for having me. It's been great to kind of reflect on the past year or so, because we really don't get a chance to. So, thank you for that opportunity. Thank
yeah, you, I hope you pop your champagne at some point.
We haven't yet, but we keep planning on doing it, and there's always, you know, other things that keep popping up, but eventually.
Aaron Hsu, CEO and co-founder of Clear Mask, providing us all a little more clarity in these nutty COVID times.
A more transparent CEO I have never had the pleasure of speaking with.
Thanks to Aaron for taking the time to chat with us. You can check out his company at www.theclearmask.com and on Twitter at The Clear Mask. Our episode was edited by the lovely Mike Ravenscroft, and our music is by Reactor Productions. Our logo is by Priya Runashala. You can follow us on Twitter at @extreme_pod. Embrace the uncertainty.
Thanks for listening.